Will you join me with our prayer of illumination? The words are printed in your bulletin or on the screen. By the power of the Holy Spirit, and in one voice, let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So I'm going to invite you to stand as you are able in a posture of praise as we hear the gospel according to John from the 20th chapter, if you will. Please stand in the hearing of today's reading. I'll be reading verses 11 through 18. Hear now these words. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. And the angel said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." But when she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus spoke to her and said, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" And Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. You may be seated. Will you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, in this Easter season, we still find ourselves looking into the empty tomb, expecting to find you. And in today's scripture, we encounter Mary, who is weeping and comes across Jesus. And there were words that were shared and a mandate given and a hope and expectation of things to come. And so today, as we reflect upon this scripture, may it be opened up in new ways, that it may speak to those places of emptiness, those tombs within our beings, that we may experience the fullness of the life you offer to us. So may the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this text is usually part of the start at the beginning of chapter 20, and I chose a few selected parts of that, particularly Mary Magdalene's interaction with Jesus and her going to the tomb. And what we often because this is typically read on Easter, we don't take a little bit of extra time to reflect on the story, because it's so much about the resurrection of Jesus, right? Well, you know, going and finding that empty tomb, and what does that mean to be in this resurrected life, and the hope and the expectation. And each gospel has its own account of what that experience was like. It would be as if we were all sitting in this space and had something amazing happen. We would all have a different way of sharing that story again, right? We would use different words and different perspectives. And John's gospel is unique in the fact that the whole thing is this cosmic realization about the nature of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. which harkens back to the very beginning of creation in Genesis. And we can't have that beginning without having an end. And often we think that the resurrection was the end. And friends, here's a spoiler. It is the beginning. The resurrection is not the end. It is the end of some sorts, but truly is the beginning of a new life that we are called to live. And we come to this, and it means that there's going to be major life transitions within us if we truly hold on to the resurrection of the Lord who conquers death forever. Mary Magdalene and the other ladies, did you know, were the first witnesses to proclaim the resurrection of Jesus. Sometimes we often see this in a very male-focused kind of perspective, right? Because we often think about Peter and the beloved disciple running to the tomb, right? And then going back. And then the later narratives really do focus about the disciples in that way. But today's story is about Mary. And Mary was a very common name, so sometimes we're like, well, which Mary? Was it Mary, the mother of Jesus? Was it this other Mary? Was it the Mary and the Martha? Was it Martha Magdalene? Right, so, but this clearly tells us that it's Mary Magdalene, that she's gone to the tomb to find something. She is looking for Jesus, and I can imagine that sometimes in some really traumatic experiences in our own lives that we're reaching for straws. We're reaching for things that will help us make sense of really strange and difficult circumstances, right? And so we may go back to that place of like, well, maybe if I start here, I might be able to put some pieces together in a way that will make sense or at least help me move forward. And we understand that the trauma of that Friday would have still been resonating, and the dissatisfaction of not being able to tend well to Jesus's body, right? They were going back to the tomb to do that care upon Jesus and then to go there and find the tomb empty. Just added a whole nother layer on top of that experience, right? Because now the thing that might have brought comfort for Mary can't happen. And I know for some of us, we probably have that experience too, right? We go and we're trying to find and make sense. And particularly, it was a difficult week for my kid with some circumstances going on with her, and just seeing from a bystander's perspective the process of grief, right? That oftentimes this traumatic event happens and there's this shock, like it's just like you get paralyzed and you don't know what to do with that. And then eventually you go like, oh no. That didn't happen, right? That could not possibly have happened. That's the denial, right? And then you get really angry that it happened, and then you're forcing somebody else to say, well, it's all your fault. Like, have y'all done that, or is that just me? No. And then we start, bartering. Well, if I had done this, then maybe this wouldn't have happened. Or if I could do this, then maybe it'll bring me comfort in my soul. And I would probably, would take a guess and say that Mary Magdalene was probably in that place, right? Like she had kind of lived through the shock and the denial, the disbelief and the anger and going there and just saying, well, if I could just take care of Jesus' body, I can make sense of what's happened, right? But the tomb was empty, right? But it wasn't completely empty, because what did Mary find in the tomb? Two angels, right? Like two angels. How many times have angels been interspersed in these stories of either death or resurrection, and they're proclaimers of a message of God, and right, and they're like, woman, why are you weeping? Like they acknowledge the distraughtness of her face. It's the same thing for us, friends, when somebody comes in and you see them and you're like, how are you doing? And they say, I'm fine. And what's our response? No, you're not. right? Like, you've got to be kidding me. Of course you're not fine. This just happened. Nobody is okay, right? Like, let's acknowledge where you are. And so in that words of saying, you know, I'm going to call you out on the fact that I can see you're visibly upset. What are you looking for? And to say, I'm looking for my Lord. If you could just tell me where he is, then I can take care of him, right? And so she, you know, having gone that, turns and sees someone. We call him Jesus, but does she recognize Jesus? No. Who does she think Jesus is? The gardener. How many times have we, like, seen somebody out in the wild that we are so familiar with in a certain context that when we see them out there, we don't immediately recognize them? Because either one, they're wearing different clothes, or maybe they're, you know, wearing a baseball cap. I mean, for y'all teachers that go into the grocery store and run into your kids, your students, and they go, why are you at the store? You live at school, right? You know, there's that shock and disbelief of, like, I don't know how to make sense of this. And I can imagine that that is probably what's going through Mary's mind. Like, right, there's this gardener, and she's not putting two and two together yet, right? That the tomb is empty. She knows Jesus had said, I was going to be resurrected, but I guarantee you she wasn't expecting to run into him at the empty tomb in that way, right? In that way. And again, she repeats this. And sometimes in our grief and our, you know, difficult circumstances, we tend to repeat ourselves. Because when we tend to repeat ourselves, it's often a verbal way of trying to work through and make sense, right? And by saying it again to somebody else, then maybe that's going to help us settle into it a little bit more, right? And to say, woman, why are you weeping? The same question is asked. And she said, if you have seen my Lord, can you tell me where he is? She's looking right at him. And it's not until Jesus calls her name that she is moved out of that disbelief, questioning status, to move into a different perspective of openness and receptivity, to recognize who is standing right in front of her. How many of you can be so far away and not in a visible line of sight and hear someone's voice and immediately know who they are? Oh, yeah. You know? And as particularly as a mom, like, if I hear somebody say, mom, how many of y'all turn around and make sure it's not your kid? Do you know what I mean? Or if it's dad, you know, you turn around and you're like, okay, that's not me. Okay, phew. Whatever, you know, please don't hand me whatever is in your hands because I don't want to carry that, right? But this idea that our names matter and we recognize the voice of the one who we have built this beautiful relationship with, right? And so all of this is happening in the garden. And it's this beautiful experience. And yet Jesus, you know, preemptive, I can imagine, like, if it had been Peter that Jesus ran into at the garden, Peter would probably say, hey, let's put three rocks here to remember that you're here, because he'd be harking back to his mountaintop experience of having witnessed Jesus talking to Moses and Elijah, right? Be like, how cool is this? We just need to stay here forever, right? And Jesus is like, no, that is not Mary's temperament. That is not Mary's perspective. Mary is one of those who's going to go out and do things. So let me give her something very concrete to do. Right? Don't linger here. I need you to go tell my brothers, the people we've been in ministry with for 3 years, that I'm going to come see them. And she does. In this resurrection story, as it's rooted in the garden, we know that this garden is this idyllic environment for the relationship between God and humanity. It harkens back to when God walked and spoke with Adam and Eve in the garden, and that was the ideal. And now we're getting to see this in a different way because Jesus was resurrected from the dead and is walking again with those who loved him and knew him. And we're getting a glimpse of what this resurrected life is going to look like. And there is stuff we have to do with it. That we can't linger at the garden. We need to move through our humanness in order to continue to share this news out into the world. That we need to embody this resurrected life and tell others about it. Had Mary just stopped and planted flowers in the garden and not gone to tell the disciples that Jesus was coming, I wonder if we would be here now. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's one of those questions, like, makes you scratch your head and think, if any one of those persons who was tasked to go proclaim the good news of the resurrected life of Jesus, if they hadn't done what Jesus asked, would we be here now? Would we be here now? Would we be lingering in the garden waiting for our Savior to call our name? Would we recognize the voice of Jesus who says, this is not the end of the story. You have work to do. Go forth and tell them that I'm coming. So why go back to that morning? Because it beautifully captures us in humanity and the circumstances that we are in. That our lives don't always make sense. That our circumstances that happen that causes shock or denial or anger or trying to work a deal, be like, well, if I had just done this, right, then maybe it would go different. And then I just remember my sweet child saying, it's just not fair. Because we can't quite wrap our head around why certain things happen, and what the purpose of it is. And I can imagine that for Mary, she probably thought, this is not fair for Jesus. I don't understand the purpose of this. And we are standing on the other side to know that the purpose of this is the resurrected life. The final conquering of death, that it will not control or have authority over us. That the sin, the individual and communal things that separate us from right relationship with God will no longer have power over us. That the love of God ultimately wins. That is the beauty of what seems to be an unfair dynamic and the work that God has called us to. Go tell my beloved children that I'm coming to them. And when Jesus interacts with each and every one of them and each and every one of us, may we recognize the voice of our Lord and Savior. That we may experience the abundance of peace, and may we have the bold confidence to claim that resurrected life and not linger in the garden. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.